And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Mae McCarthy with us. We're going to take your phone calls with Mae. Her latest book is called The Gratitude Formula. Her other one was called The Path to Wealth. So we will be back with her and your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Mae McCarthy with us. Mae, before we go back to other calls, if you could quickly buzz through the seven-step system that you've created and then tell us how you came up with these seven steps.
Well, the very first thing you should do in the morning is the first four steps. They take about 25, 30 minutes. And what you want to do is program your brain for success. Think about, write about, and speak out loud about the things that you want for your life rather than what everybody else thinks that you should be focusing on. So very first thing, pick up a book that is inspirational. Anything to read for about 5 minutes. I like short stories that describe successes that other people are having that I would like to have too, so that I can become familiar with their success. It'll start to shift my beliefs into possibilities. If they can do it, I can do it. Second thing is to write out your goal statements and describe them as though they're already complete with gratitude. So instead of saying, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to be debt-free, you would say what your life is like with gratitude after you already lost 10 pounds. So you might say, I'm so grateful that I'm physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, in a healthy, pain-free body. Or I'm so grateful that I'm financially free with the ability to do whatever I want whenever I want with a minimum or more of X number of dollars. So describe it as though it's already done with gratitude. Write those out for about 10 minutes. The third step is to read what you wrote out loud. Any school teacher will tell you that if you read something out loud, the understanding is deeper and it anchors the meaning more fully within you. This programs your brain to start to be on high alert for possibilities that are in alignment with what you just declared. And then finally, the fourth step is to spend about 5 minutes and think about one of the goals that you have. Imagine, close your eyes and use a technique that Olympic athletes and professional musicians use. They see themselves in their mind's eye in the completed goal. If you do that every day, what will happen is you'll start to recognize a picture, almost a movie, of you being in that completed goal scenario, and you'll be able to write about it the next day easier. Steps five and six happen at the throughout the day. What you want to do is expect and watch for any intuitive leads. Pay attention to your body. Are there any gut instincts? Do you have any strong thoughts to go somewhere, do something, contact someone? If you do, just do it. If you don't, then ask that inner wisdom. Say, hey, brain, mind, intuition, if this is something I'm supposed to pay attention to, give me another sign, give me another lead, and you will get one. What most people do at that stage is dismiss the intuitive lead and go about operating on a rational mind basis only. And most people that are very, very successful do rely on intuition. It's not an exception. They should be considered an example, and everyone can do this. Finally, at the end of the evening, right before you go to sleep, just think about some things that happened during the day and say some gratitude statements out loud. I'm so grateful that I got parking spaces in front so I didn't have to get wet in the Seattle rain.
Affirmations, I guess.
Say some gratitude statements out loud. And what has been proved in a number of studies is that when you're using gratitude, it puts you in a calmer state. Your well-being overall ends up being improved. And it's that calm state that allows us to recognize those strong thoughts, those gut instincts, and that will help you to sleep better as well. Those are your seven steps.
Makes a very powerful presentation, doesn't it?
It does, and it's like anything. If you do this on a daily basis, and try to make it really, really, really simple, but if you do it on a daily basis, just like your previous caller, you'll start to have things happen that don't make rational sense. you know, finding exactly what you were looking for because somebody gives it to you, or you find it at a garage sale, or you get this idea to drive across town to a place where you just happen to run into somebody you were thinking about. Lots of things start to line up, and they don't make rational sense, but you will be guided through this power of your mind, this power of your intuition, to take steps. And what happens with repetition? I mean, it's not just part of the goal attainment practice. What's happening in your brain has been scientifically shown to shift beliefs. And what I mean by that is we all have arrived at this stage of our lives with a lot of beliefs and behaviors that we've created over a lifetime. And science has shown that those are tied to neural pathways in your brain. They're kind of like grooves in your brain, the kind of mind grooves. And the ones that are very large are tied to very strong beliefs. You know, this is the way it is. This is the way I am. This is what I think. Kind of like the belief that that scientist singer had about not getting paid for singing. Well, repetition ends up helping you to shift beliefs. It creates a stronger, different neural pathway. And I want you to imagine it like this, George. Imagine there's a field of grass up to your hips. If you walk through that field of grass one day and come back the next, can you see where you walked? Probably not. But if you walk that same path every single day, you start to create a noticeable path, and in some cases, a little groove in the dirt, right? That's what's happening in your brain with repetition. You're shifting and strengthening a new belief to be more on par with what you desire rather than what your old belief was keeping you in bondage about. And this is absolutely not something that is reserved for a few. Science has shown that all of us can create and strengthen different neural pathways that are tied to different beliefs. And that's what we have to do in order to achieve something new, is to create a new belief.
Let's go to the phones now. Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get us started. Hi, Tom.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, George, I did the same thing. I couldn't stop the bicycle, and I had to be taught how to
stop it and get off it.
How to stop and get off. I laughed so hard when you said that. But anyway, May, great wisdom. My question, May, I'm going to use a metaphor and then ask you the question. You spoke about December 31 as a date, but there's another date in December, and that's December 24, the night before Christmas. And, you know, when you're a child, you have what you want, what you desire, and, you know, it's late at night. You go into the living room and you look under the Christmas tree, and there's all these presents. And you know in your gut, in certainty, that what you want, what you desire, is in that boxed Christmas present with a bow on it, with your name on it. You know with certainty that what you want is there. And my question is, you know, it's not law of attraction. What I think, this is a clarification that I'm asking you, is that it's not law of attraction. It's not that we have to attract what we want, what we desire. We have to be grateful that it's already there. Be thankful and that it's in a box with a bow on it, with our name on it, and in a few hours we can open it up and be thankful that it was already there. Is that what you mean by gratitude? That it's not attraction, it's being thankful that it's already manifest, like that Christmas present.
Right. So when that's a great analogy. That I love little kids on Christmas Eve. They are absolutely certain that everything they want is there. And you know, sometimes I really do believe that their desire for and confidence that they're going to experience that influences their parents to make sure that it actually is there. Their parents might see it on sale one day when they thought they couldn't afford it before. But what I think gratitude for what you want in advance does, in relation especially to the power of your mind, is it puts your subconscious and this intuitive faculty on high alert. Both of them want you to be operating in integrity. And here you are saying, I'm so grateful that I now have or I now experience this good that I've described for my life. And it's almost like the both your subconscious and your intuition go on high alert and, you know, almost have a eek, oh my gosh, I have to point out possibilities to make these statements true. I've got to give her some information that will help her to be operating in integrity. She's saying it's done. She's seeing it's done. She's describing it's done. She's feeling that it's done. And I have to do whatever I can in this universe to point out possibilities for her to take steps to make her words true.
What have you meant? Go ahead, May. Finish up.
So you know, there's a law of attraction, which I do believe works. I do believe that it also is tapping into an energy and a power in the universe that all of us can use. But this gratitude practice also goes into shifting beliefs, because you can be grateful for having achieved something, and if your brain does not believe that you think it's at least possible, it's going to put all of those intuitive messages, all those illuminated opportunities, it's going to put everything on mute until your belief gets up to the same level as your desire.
And what do you mean by the fraud factor?
The fraud factor is when your beliefs are not on par with your desires. I want you to think of it this way. Your brain remembers, especially at this stage of our lives, you know, we're older, we've experienced successes, we've experienced failures, we've experienced disasters, we've experienced great joys. Your brain remembers every time you had a goal in the past that you did not achieve. It remembers how disappointed you were. So it wants to protect you. It will always, always try to protect you. So if you now have this new goal that's bigger than anything you've experienced before or different than anything you've experienced before, it wants to validate that you believe it's possible for you to have that. So you can use this daily goal practice all day long, every single day. But if your brain does not believe you believe that it's possible, it's going to put everything on mute until you shift that belief. And that's where neural pathways and repetition come into play. So using the daily practice is very important. Gratitude statements as though you've already achieved what you want. But you also need to shift your beliefs. And one of the ways to do that is to go find stories about people who have achieved the kind of things that you want. Meet them. Talk to them. Learn what their stories are. Make it so that it's not so scary to do. What that's doing is it's like walking that field every single day in your mind. You're creating a new mind groove. You're creating and strengthening this neural pathway that says it is possible for you to achieve that. It is possible for you to experience that. And here's my proof. Look at all these other people that have achieved it and proved it. If they can do it, I can do it. Once your belief shifts to possibility, then your brain knows that you're serious and takes the intuitive and subconscious messaging off mute, and now the floodgates open and you'll be guided and directed to achieve what you want.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Rich is with us in Monterey, California. Rich, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, George, or actually good morning, George and May.
Hi.
What a wonderful show, which is diametrically opposite of the first half of your show, I might add.
That scares the heck out of you.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I've often wondered how you even live with all the different shows you do. But I want to stay positive. came down to four words that explains how life is for people just the other day. I've been through my own experience. I went through karate, you know, broke my knee and all that kind of stuff. And it's a day-to-day thing. I'm a very positive person. Even though poop hits the fan, we have choices to do when it hits us. We can duck, we can avoid everything, or we can use the poop as fertilizer and grow from it, just like she was, May was saying. There's a little stairway I saw, a little guy, stick guy, walking up these steps. There's 10 steps. As the first one, I will not do it. That's you will. And then you say, I can't. And then you say, I don't think I want to. And then I might try. And then you say, oh, I might do it someday. And it starts to become positive. And then it ends up being, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. I will. And then I am a musician, or I am a writer, or whatever. So the four steps are complain, and then we explain either the negative or the positive, and then we attain the positive. And then the trick is to bring heaven to earth and sustain the positive, which is what May is saying. I really like, it's the negative. Say, the universe doesn't understand negative. God is positive. He has, everything is positive. I wrote a book called Picture of Hope, A Spiritual Journey, From Rich to Riches and Riches to Riches. And it's not about money. My name is Rich. I'm not wealthy. But I write poems, and it's like, I know what my wealth is. I enjoy encouraging people, just like May does. I have my plan set out. I'm living in my truck right now, but it's wonderful. So many blessings from seeing different things. You know what I'm talking about. She knows. It starts from believing. And here's the one thing. It's not about forgiveness. Forgiveness is carnal. It's about understanding. Once you understand, forgiveness is like daddy. I don't need to whip you every time. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I let you fall down, and I'll pick you up, and I guide you. Anyway, I guess I'm done rambling.
Not rambling at all, Rich. Thanks. We've got a minute left before the break. May, if you want to react to him.
Well, Rich, thank you for that insight. I appreciate that. I do think that we go through those stages. You know, sometimes when we have a goal, or somebody has a goal for us and we're feeling pressured, we start to think of all the reasons why we can't do something. I mean, that's a human condition. And I think we all have that experience. That, to me, seems to be when we're reacting to something, as opposed to being deliberately proactive in creating a goal or a desire for our life. You know, you get diagnosed with cancer unexpectedly, and the first thing is, oh my gosh, you know, here are all the horrible things that could happen. I could lose my life, my family, all these terrible things, and I don't want that to happen. And then you have to remember to go through those stages and then shift yourself to a place where you can ask yourself, what do I really want?
And that's the important thing. May, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with our final segment with May McCarthy, author of the latest book called The Gratitude Formula. What have your peers or colleagues said anything about your work here, May?
My peers and colleagues? Oh, absolutely. Well, where I play a lot is I'm an angel investor. I'm also going to the university for speaking in classrooms to undergraduate and MBA students. So my business background lends me a lot of invitations to a lot of different places. And then when I talk about goal attainment strategies and how we are successful as business people, they seem to get it. I mean, we've those of us that are successful business people use formulas for success. Adding this in can help them achieve not only greater success in their business, but an awful lot of success in their personal and healthy.
Yeah, it overlaps, doesn't it?
It does. It's the same system for success. I mean, there's so many people that believe that success is unattainable, that it's not available for them, that it's only available for a select few. And I want people to know that's garbage, that each and every person has an incredibly powerful mind. They can make choices, and they can choose to live a life that they want to design rather than a life that other people or even people that were influential to them as kids or people that are influential to them in today's world, maybe through work or through other vehicles where they're getting their information. They don't have to believe that they are limited. And I ask people to prove it. Prove to themselves. Try this out for 30 days. Give it a try and see if you don't start to achieve more of what you desire in life. Once you've accumulated proof, sky's the limit. You can achieve anything that you want.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Carrie is in Glendale, California. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for holding so long.
Oh, thank you for having me. Ms. May, a question for you. I'm answered. It, but what about in extreme cases when someone is stating negative energy toward you, even in writing? I had an incident.
You're breaking up a little bit there, Carrie. And she was there for an hour, so let's see. Carrie, can you get back to your phone a little closer?
How's this?
Okay, much better.
Okay, great. So I'm an activist. I sent out an email for a cause. A disturbing story of what happened to a woman. But anyway, instead of getting a great response back, I got this really dark response back, like threats, physical, spiritual, and it really got to me. Apparently, she does this to a lot of people. I then looked some information up on her. I think she might have schizophrenia as well. So in a case like this, I'm usually a positive person. But when someone's saying, I'm going to get you spiritually, and then she puts all this really dark imagery online,
Jeez. She
did, and I did report it, but still, it's gotten to me. And so I'm wondering, how can one get out of that when someone's done that to you?
Well, first of all, I am so sorry that happened. I really, really am. And I think what you're doing in terms of taking steps to limit the exposure publicly that she can do on social media are great. Those are great steps. But for you personally, if this problem was gone, what would your life be like?
I think it would be pretty good. I'm struggling somewhat financially, but other than that, I would just keep moving onward.
Okay, so you'd have a good life.
A better life, at least.
You'd more financial freedom, maybe some peace. So start tomorrow morning writing down some gratitude statements for having the life that you would like. I'm so grateful that I am peaceful, that I have everything in my life is operating in a divine order with financial abundance that easily helps me to live my life in freedom. Start describing this wonderful, new, free, peaceful life and be grateful for that.
And what does this tell you, May? What does this tell you about other people who post things like that? I mean, get a life, folks. You know, they don't have one. They're haters. Don't they have a life? They spend their time on the internet just whining about everybody.
You know, you hear that. You hear that saying that hurt people. So somehow that person is filled with some pain, and they're taking it out on you. And it's not right. It's absolutely not right for them to do that, okay? It's never, ever right for someone to do that. But I care about you, and I want you to live the life that you would like. And a start is to describe what that life is going to look like for you and be grateful for having it in advance. Then what's going to happen is people are going to show up to validate that you are a really great person, that you are entitled to have a peaceful and free life. And there are going to be some other strong ideas and other resources that show up in your way that will help you to deal effectively with this situation. Right now, you're so focused on it that it's going to continue to grow bigger and bigger and bigger.
It'll fester.
So what you have to do is shift your focus to what you want and then allow the power of your mind to come up with creative ideas and this wonderful power in the universe to bring the right resources to you to get you to a peaceful and free place.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx now. Joe, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay, Joe. Thanks.
Good. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Joe. Hi.
Good. Hi. I wanted to ask you two things, May. What is your technique for overcoming fear and anxiety, especially fear and anxiety as it relates to the future? And also, how can you best get rid of an environment that has in it demeaning stuff and lots of criticism?
Okay, so the first question is, how do you overcome fear and anxiety? And I find that repeating out loud something that's contrary to that fear, which is essentially what you would like, is important. If you say something out loud, it will overpower thoughts about anything contrary to it. And you can experiment yourself. I mean, try and think of something negative or think of something fearful and speak something out loud at exactly the same time. Your brain's attention will go on the spoken word. And I call that fear of the future, that fear of the unknown, I call it future tripping. And any energy that you give to that will manifest, give it power to manifest in your life. So it's very important that you not give it any more energy. And the way that you can take energy away from it is to speak what you do want out loud whenever that fear comes up. Now, you may need to say it over and over and over again, like 5,000 times. I'm so grateful that I live a free, healthy, and safe life. I'm so grateful that I am financially free with a minimum of X number of dollars to afford all my living, giving, and entertainment expenses. If you're saying those things out loud, your brain will shift its attention to those statements and start to illuminate more possibilities for you to achieve it. Now, for the second question, being in an environment that is detrimental to you, boy, you know,
you got to get out of it.
That's a tough one.
Can't you?
That's a tough one.
Get out of the environment.
I don't know if you need to be there because it's your job or because it's your family relationship. But what I would like you to do is start by figuring out what is it that you want out of your life. How do you want to feel? If you were living the perfect life, what would your life be like? Would you be experiencing peace? Would you be experiencing freedom? Would you be experiencing support and appreciation? And whatever it is that you want to experience, find one person every single day who you can do something for that represents that. For instance, if you want to feel more appreciated, one person every single day, could be a different person every day, let them know via text or phone call or an email that you were thinking about them and you appreciate them. As you start giving appreciation, giving what you want to receive more of in your life, you're going to start noticing more evidence of it occurring in your life. But take the attention away from the negative, and then ask yourself on a practical basis, do I need to continue to be in this situation? And if you don't, get out.
Mary, have you ever come across a psychic vampire? And do you know what that is?
I don't.
It would be an individual who sucks your energy willingly or otherwise just by standing next to you. You can feel it.
Oh my.
I mean, he or she would take it out of a room sometimes. And you feel mentally exhausted when you're with these people. Have you ever had that happen to you?
I have. And as I look back on it, what I found was that I was more susceptible to people sucking my energy when I hadn't already programmed my brain, my mind, to design the life that I wanted. As soon as I had focus on what I wanted, I was less likely to have my energy sucked from any other avenue or person or vampire. But I have been around people like that, absolutely, and I have been sucked dry when I'm floating without direction.
Just run if you can. Let's go to first-time caller Skip in Anaheim, California. Go ahead, Skip.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm anorexic. I had got a head injury when I was very young at 5 years old. I'm 59 now, and I still have struggling eating, and that's something I can't, I'm having a hard time dealing with. Do you have any comments on helping me with anorexia?
It's interesting that you brought that up. My niece had been dealing with eating disorder patients for probably 20 years now. And I can tell you that having some professional help and professional support with people who really understand what you're going through would be my first recommendation for you.
It's a compulsive disorder. So you have to get to the root of that compulsion, don't you?
I think that professionals are going to walk you through a program to go very, very deep.
Can you do this without medication, Mary? May?
My niece's patients are not medicated, and she has a very, very high success rate. And I know that there are other people like her in different states, especially in California, who are exceptional. And so I would recommend that you start with people who you know and trust that are in your sphere of influence and see if there are any recommendations on some professionals that you could get in touch with, because they will walk you through some really deep, deep work to get to the root of it and then root it out so that you can be on a journey of permanent healing.
May, is your toll-free number still available?
It is.
1-888-858-4651, right?
That's correct.
Okay, great.
And my website is maymccarthy.com.
It linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Her latest book is called The Gratitude Formula. And May, I want to thank you for being on the program again. Good luck. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thanks so much, George. It was a pleasure. And thanks to all your listeners.
Oh, they love you. And folks, it's a great book. It's truly a great read. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk a little bit about the supernatural and sci-fi with a special writer. Then we're going to have those typical Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines. Also, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website daily and get all the information you need about the show and some strange stories and all those other great little things. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.